Welcome to the 359. I'm Roger Chan.
I'm Ben Fox Rubin.
I'm Alfred Ng.
It's good to be back from the craziness of Las Vegas and CES. One of the big themes of the show had to be the back and forth between Amazon's Alexa and Google Assistant. Ben, you covered this pretty closely. Who do you think won?
It's pretty obvious. It was Google. But it was Google because
coming from
the
Amazon guy, too.
I mean, I'm not Amazon's guy. Come on. So Google won it out, obviously, because they spent a ton of money.
Yes.
They spent an insane amount of money on marketing. So they just really wanted to flood the zone at the show. And it's partly because they're right now number two in smart speakers. They're like Amazon basically dominates right now. They have 2/3 of the market in the United States with smart speakers. Google only has about 1/3. And then everybody else is kind of fighting over the scraps.
Right.
Otherwise, so that gives Google a very good reason to spend, I don't know how much money they did on Google the ride and really trying to do
I was going to ask, though, why do you think they won? Just because their names were everywhere? Like, did they actually have better products and features come out over Amazon?
I mean,
I think the marquee feature was the Google interpreter mode, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to translate different languages, 27 different languages. But yeah, it was definitely, I think for me, it was more of a presence thing. They were everywhere. You couldn't avoid seeing them. They did have a lot of announcements, too. Mm-hmm. They did a ton. Whereas Amazon had
also
announcements, but they were announced to partners, right? They didn't actively announce anything themselves.
Yeah, that's right. And I thought it was interesting. Like, for instance, Lenovo came out with a product that looks a lot like the Echo Spot. So that's you know, to kind of rival the like one of those Amazon products. KitchenAid came out with a smart display uses Google Assistant. So now Amazon has to fight off KitchenAid of all companies. So there was just a lot that Google was trying to stack up. And I think that they definitely did a good job. They also advertised like crazy all over Las Vegas. So it was just, if they were really trying to make a big splash and show folks that, hey, we're here and we're really looking to compete, then they did that job.
All right. So another theme from CES was foldable displays. LG obviously wowed us with its big screen rollable OLED television. But I was looking at it from a phone perspective. Royal FlexPi was there. It was this like Chinese startup with this kind of janky foldable phone. I tried it. It actually, hardware-wise, it wasn't bad. Software-wise, it was a complete mess. But we just saw a report in the Wall Street Journal today that more foldable phones are coming, particularly Motorola or Lenovo is bringing back the Motorola Razr as a $1,500 flip phone.
I am
with a foldable display.
Totally into that,
dude. Nah, I'm good. Unless you know they drop that price like severely.
Clearly this is not meant for the typical user, right? This is going to be a novelty item. This is going to be an item for the one percenters.
I'm a one percenter. I'm stinking rich, but you know what? Even that, I'm good.
All right. Well, that's the future of foldable phones. Lastly, Nike yesterday unveiled its new self-lacing shoes yesterday. Alfred, take us through this. What are the shoes like? What are they called?
Yeah, Adapt BBs. This is the sequel to the 2016 Hyper Adapts 1.0s that they came out with. They're going to be available February 17th for $350. And they tie themselves based on an app that you get through Nike. Or you can just, you know, if you don't want to use your phone or give Nike your data.
Right.
That has buttons on the sides. One that is closer to the back will loosen it. And then the one closer to your toes lighten it.
So, buttons are so 2008.
I just saw you. I just do a front flip. Is there like a button on the app that pushes that?
Yeah,
you can
it's
push
a giant
that
spring in the
basically
bottom.
Basically enables you to flip
no,
like that?
No, I wanted to see the difference in athletic ability based on the tightness of the shoe.
Yep.
They had all these basketball players there, like dunking basketballs and stuff, but I can't dunk a basketball. I tried several times.
Shocker.
So I was like, okay, what can I do? So I put it really loose and I tried the flip, and then I put it really tight and I tried the flip. And it definitely does make a difference. You feel like you have more grip and control when it's really tightened. Versus when it's like loose, you're more relaxed. I can see that for when you're just like sitting down and just want to chill out and don't want a really tight shoe.
All right. For full coverage, check us out on CNET. I'm Roger Chang.
Ben Fox Rubin.
I'm Alfred Ng.
Thanks for listening.